Hello and welcome to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb, and listen to this quote. In case you didn't know it, if you're a conservative Christian, you are just like Boko Haram and ISIS. At least that's what the secularists are saying. More absurd still, they actually believe this. So writes Dr. Michael Brown, columnist, author, radio host, and Christian educator. To discuss one of his recent columns, Secularism Declares War on Religious Faith, is Dr. Michael Brown. Dr. Brown, welcome back to Vocal Point.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to be with you.
So I do know the trend that sometimes secularists will say, you know, oh, look at these terrible examples of religion, and then they'll, you know, show all kinds of examples from radical Islam and then say, oh, isn't it bad? It's all bad. And all of a sudden, a church-going evangelical is just as bad as a radical Muslim. But they don't really believe that, do they?
Well, more and more actually do believe it. And some trace this back to 9/11, to the Al-Qaeda terrorist attacks and religious fundamentalism. And then somehow we start getting grouped together. Well, this is what serious believers do. And you say, but obviously there's no comparison. You know, we're around the world feeding the poor and building hospitals and caring for the needy, and hundreds of millions of professing Christians around the world, and we're not beheading people and blowing people up. And yet, because we have biblical viewpoints, because we stand against redefining marriage, because we want to challenge, say, teaching of evolution in the schools, because we have other beliefs that go against the grain of the secular society, there are people who literally put us all in the same category and say, look at what they each believe, and they're very similar, and they all want a theocracy. And, I've heard some people dialogue with some people that I quote my article, and they actually seem serious about this.
You know, it's interesting. I look at the case of Bill Maher, who, if you had told me, you know, let's say the same point about 2 months ago, I would have said, yeah, look at Bill Maher as an example. He said, for example, on the Comedy Channel, I guess he was a guest of Jon Stewart's, and he said, if I were running for office, my slogan would be, religion is bad, drugs are good. And everybody applauded. And often, through the years, he has painted all religion with a broad brush, therefore lumping in Christians with, radical Muslims. But on the other hand, just recently, he has actually said and received some flack for it from liberals that, wait a minute, there is a difference here. I mean, you can leave the Christian faith and not leave so, by being beheaded or whatever. In other words, there is a difference between Christianity and Islam, radical Islam.
Yeah, in fact, I've quoted him. We played sound bites from some of his broadcasts making these statements, recognizing the radical nature of Islam, or recognizing the murderous nature of radical Islam, and saying it is different. That, for example, you have countries around the world with majority Christian populations, at least professing, mm-hmm. and there's no penalty for conversion. No one's putting you to death if you convert from Christianity to another religion, and yet in majority Muslim nations, it's common for there to be severe penalties, even death penalties, mm-hmm. for apostasy from Islam. So Bill Maher has, to my surprise also, has recognized these things. On the flip side, I began hearing this primarily from gay activists, that when we opposed the redefining of marriage, or when we held to biblical values of family or the importance of gender identity, recognizing the importance of distinguishing between male and female and so on, that when we did not go along with the gay activist agenda, that we started getting compared to Islamic radicals. I remember a couple of years ago here in North Carolina, where I presently live, that Billy Graham put ads out mm-hmm. with his son Franklin and encouraged the people of North Carolina to vote for marriage in 2012, not to redefine marriage, and to emphasize that it's the union of a male and female only. Well, gay activists started to attack him. One said, Billy Graham is advocating Sharia law. After all these years of great ministry, now he's advocating Sharia law. And I thought, what in the world are they talking about? But somehow, they have convinced themselves so deeply that their way is the right way, and that the only possible reason someone would oppose them is radical religious fundamentalism, and you never know what those fundamentalists are going to do, that they're actually believing the crazy rhetoric.
Mm. Yeah, it is amazing. The thing that's so sad, though, is what is promoted in the schools, what is promoted in the popular culture. I mean, even the example with Bill Maher, here he, on his own program, I understand that he had almost a shout fest, if you will, with Ben Affleck, which means that Ben Affleck was essentially trying to defend Muslims and implying that, you know, not all Muslims are radical, which is true. But part of the point that Bill Maher was making, again, going back to the radical Muslim issue, is the idea that there are majorities of Muslims who do believe that you should be killed if you leave the faith.
Right. So here's a simple question to ask. You've got, just in terms of professing Christians, you've got well over 2 billion professing Christians. Mm-hmm. You've got maybe 1.5 billion professing Muslims. And we could list the groups of radical Muslims. We could list the Taliban, Al-Qaeda. We could list a country like Iran. We could speak of Boko Haram. We could speak of ISIS now. Mm-hmm. We could speak of Hamas and Hezbollah and group after group that it employs murderous tactics as part of its ideology, commonly. All right, well, now let's go through the equivalent in Christian, professing Christians. The only one you're going to come up with, you may find, like, some group in Africa that was formed as a military group to fight against another military group, and they give themselves some Christian name. I mean, it's virtually non-existent. If you also look at the example of Jesus, contrast it with the example of Muhammad, you have Muhammad as a warring man who on one occasion is involved with the beheading of over 600 Jews who were captured, Jewish men who were captured. He is the perfect man. He is the model. Mm-hmm. Jesus lays his life down for us. Muhammad was a warrior. So if you're looking for a war context, you're going to have radical differences there. You also have, within Islam, many violent texts in the Quran and then in the Hadith. Now, Muslim theologians would say, yes, but that was just for that time, just like the command to kill the Canaanites in the Bible was just for that time, and it doesn't apply to all times. The problem is that it's not explicitly laid out in the Quran or in the Hadith, and it's subject to interpretation. And there's the conflict that the whole world is at war. In Islam, you have Dar al-Islam and Dar al-Harb, the house of Islam and the house of the sword, the house of war. So you are at war with the rest of the world until it converts to Islam. So you can easily use the jihad-type text. You can easily use the violent type text. Whereas if you contrast that with the gospel in the New Testament, you have the example of Jesus and in terms of retaliation, you have turn the other cheek and you have bless those who curse you and pray for those who persecute. You have Paul teaching us to overcome evil with good and on. So there's just no possible way that you can use the teaching of Jesus in the New Testament to go out and kill your enemies. But it's very possible to use the teaching of Muhammad to go out and kill your enemies. So, again, the contrasts are vast, and yet you have Peter Tatchell, who's an influential gay activist who has a foundation in the UK, and he has put out his secular manifesto. I quote it in my article. He's put out his secular manifesto that there must be a clear opposition. Secularism must oppose. And then he lists all these groups in Boko Haram and Taliban and all this, and then, quote, the religious right in Europe and America. We, Jerry, you and I are part of the religious right, mm-hmm. according to someone like Peter Tatchell, and therefore in the same group, just like the SPLC with their hate group designations.
Southern Poverty Law Center. Yeah.
Yeah.
Montgomery,
yeah,
exactly. Alabama.
Yeah, they have put us in the same class as neo-Nazis and Ku Klux Klan and white supremacists and on. So the rhetoric is there, and it's overt, and people hear it, and they believe it, and they get incited to even violent acts at times against followers of Jesus.
Well, as a matter of fact, since you mentioned the Southern Poverty Law Center out of Montgomery, Alabama, here they have on their map of hate, they list our ministry, that is the one founded by the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, for which I work and have worked full-time since 1985 by the grace of God, and had the privilege of writing books with Dr. Kennedy. And yet we're labeled a hate group. Why? I assume it's because of our stance against same-sex marriage. Tony Perkins' group, the Family Research Council, that's listed as a hate group. And these addresses are given, by the way, on that website. And because of the map of hate, there's already been a convicted crime where this man, a deranged homosexual, about 28 years old, I believe, went in the Washington, D.C. building of Family Research Council, that's their headquarters, and he had all these sandwiches of Chick-fil-A that he bought. This is about 2 years ago, and his goal was to shoot and kill these people, Tony Perkins et al. From the Family Research Council, and then smear their faces with Chick-fil-A sandwiches, and then go on to two other locations that were listed in the map of hate. And thankfully, in the providence of God, he was stopped. But blood was shed in the process of him getting stopped. Yes. You know, the blood of the guard at the Family Research Council, who was a real hero. Still, it's amazing that map of hate is still up there. It's still, last time I checked just a couple weeks ago, it's still there. So this kind of adds credence to what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm on a list that they have of 30 new leaders of the radical right. I'm listed along with people like Malik Zulu Shabazz, the former head of the New Black Panthers, and David Duke, former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, and neo-Nazis and others. Now, on the one hand, personally, I take it as an honor that I get slandered and maligned for the gospel. But I grieve that people actually believe this nonsense and that they're actually going to be turned off to the gospel and to moral truths and biblical values because of the way that the gospel gets demonized and exaggerated and lied about by these people. The latest thing is the Human Rights Campaign, the HRC, which is the world's largest gay activist organization, annual budget of over $45 million. They're fundraising dinners. They have speakers like President Obama and former President Clinton. And now what they've done is, perhaps because they don't have enough causes to raise money for here in America, with so many gay rights recent victories, at least for the moment, what they've started to do is now go after those of us who get invited to other countries to talk about moral values and biblical values. I was invited to Peru in March to address congressional leaders and university chancellors. I was quite explicit to say we're not here to demonize anyone. We're not here to incite hatred against anyone. I said that you may have friends, homosexual friends, who are some of the nicest people you know, or coworkers or family members. I said, I'm simply here to explain from American experience what happens when you normalize homosexuality and redefine marriage. For that, I am in their new list of exporting hate. They have this thing published where it looks like, you know, you've got rap sheets and pictures of people as if they're convicted felons, and this they put out videos with this ominous music. I mean, I actually did a spoof on it. It was so absurd, and put a video out responding to them. But President Clinton, just a couple of days ago, speaking at the HRC fundraiser, commended them for doing this and say that they must oppose us now worldwide. We are, quote, exporting hate. So the rhetoric is out there. People actually believe these things. So we really have a task, even when we share the gospel with people, that many will think that it's this radical, crazy message right from the get-go. And when we talk about moral values, when we talk about why God's ways are best, we now have to overcome another layer of fanatical opposition to the truth, where rather than discussing the issues in a dispassionate way, in a gracious way, in a civil way, instead one side has to demonize the other, and it's really a shame.
All right, we're talking right now with Dr. Michael Brown, who is an author, columnist, radio host, and a Christian educator. He wrote a column recently called Secularism Declares Open War on Religious Faith. Where can people read your stuff, Michael? It's great stuff. Oh, by the way, you just got an email. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, sorry about that. I didn't realize the computer was had the volume on.
And speaking of the computer, what's your website address?
Yeah, if they go to my website, AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. If they click on latest article, I normally have three new articles a week, latest broadcast. They can listen to my latest radio show. We're on live 2 hours daily, 5 days a week.
Terrific.
Latest video. It's all there. So Ask Dr. Brown. There's also a list of all of our different books and other materials.
Wow. Okay, so I appreciate all you do for the kingdom, but I think it might be good to clarify something here. I know that there have been situations where there have been, talking about exporting things, there have been situations where some people have brought forward the message to other countries and along the lines of the Bible condemns homosexuality, which is absolutely true. But in the Old Testament, we have the death penalty is prescribed for a number of different things, sins against the Lord. But that is part of the civil law that, from a Christian perspective, it no longer applies. The moral law of God still applies. And, of course, the ceremonial laws of God were all fulfilled when Jesus Christ died for sinners on Good Friday. So to the Christian, the Day of Atonement is really the original Good Friday. So the point is, some parts of the Old Testament no longer apply. You even gave the example of the Canaanites. Now, I think it's important to make this distinction because some people think that the Christian message or the Judeo-Christian message when it comes to homosexuality includes the idea that homosexuals should be executed. We do not believe that, and I want you to clarify that point.
Oh, yes, Jerry, thank you so much for raising that point and asking me to clarify that. God forbid that anyone would hear that we are advocating biblical penalties for stoning Sabbath breakers or putting homosexuals to death. God forbid that anyone would hear us saying that. I don't know a single Christian leader. I've never worked with a single Christian leader who advocates any of that whatsoever. And that's why we look at the whole Bible. We recognize that God appeared to the people of Israel and gave them laws as a theocracy where he ruled over them and they all agreed to live a certain way. And many of these laws were also things that were applicable in the ancient world. We know by the time of Jesus that Judaism itself had revised many of these laws and the teaching of the New Testament clearly made changes. So I don't know anyone, any Christian worker, any leader who has gone overseas and advocated things like that. There's even one gentleman who went over to Uganda and did a seminar about homosexual issues, and then he gets blamed for laws in Uganda where initially they advocated a death penalty. This gentleman from the States said to the people of Uganda, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't have a death penalty, and then they modified some of the penalties and made them much less severe. And he said, no, those are still too severe, and he wouldn't agree with them. And yet he gets blamed. There's an international lawsuit against him for, quote, crimes against humanity, as if he advocated this. But I think there are some groups out there, here and there, I mean, absolute fringe, that say we need to advocate all of the Old Testament penalties, you know, and stoning disobedient teenagers to death. Or, you know, I think they're out there, but I don't know a single one of them, and I've never worked with a single one of them. And especially here in America, look, we're not advocating stoning of adulterers either. What we talk about when we say America needs to turn back to God, that does not mean turn back to enforcing Old Testament law.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that's important is that our whole message is love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So for me, loving my neighbor as myself would mean telling that person about Jesus, calling them to turn away from sin. And if I felt there was something they were doing that was in the wrong interest of society and now it was becoming something to vote on, I'd vote accordingly and I'd try to influence public opinion accordingly, just like everyone else. But that's one of those things where we are falsely represented. I just did an interview for Channel 4 in England for a documentary they're doing, and I was asked by the interviewer, well, what about the law in Russia, and do I agree with laws in Russia and with homosexuality and with children's education? I said, if I could keep gay activist curricula out of the schools, I would do it because I differ with it, and I don't believe little children should be exposed to it. I said I would teach against bullying. I always teach that you must teach your kids bullying is bad. I tell Christian parents, tell your kids if there's a kid in school that gets picked on and called a fag or a sissy, you reach out to that kid and you befriend that kid. I said, but I don't want the gay activist curricula in America. That could easily be turned around to say that I advocate Russian law. That's how people will twist it. But we must be as explicit as we can because of the demonizing and false accusations.
Now, all this said, it's still true that all of us will be accountable to God. And God has not changed on any of these moral laws. So those things that are condemned in the Old Testament and for which the theocracy of Israel had the death penalty for these different sins, we're still going to be accountable to God. And, you know, so thank God for the cross where Jesus took on the due penalty of our sins. When we believe in him, we get forgiven, not because we're good, but because he paid the price with his own blood. Now, we're talking with Dr. Michael Brown. His website is askdrbrown.com. There's not a period after the dot.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, .org. I'm glad you clarified that. And one of the points we're talking about is how secularism, secular fundamentalism, if you will, is a jealous faith, and it will not harbor and allow for any other God. And if you don't agree, they'll sue your pants off or, you know, call you names or, you know, call you a hater and so forth, which is actually very grievous. Does that grieve you at all to be called a hater? You know, I mean, do you hate homosexuals, Dr. Michael Brown?
You know, the fact is I've had my heart broken to pray for those who are gay and lesbian more than for any other group of people for years now. When God started to burden me about these issues, I was first burdened about what was happening in society, and you could say it was a prophetic concern for what gay activism was doing. In other words, I saw things that were wrong that I needed to stand against. In the process of that, very, very early on, as I began to read their books and listen to their stories, my heart began to break for them. My heart began to break with love for them. My heart began to break because I saw how some of them suffered over the years, the rejection they went through. I saw the trauma that they had if they were raised in a Christian home and now started to realize they were same-sex attracted, and the spiritual and emotional trauma they went through, and on and on. So the hate-monger thing, you're not going to find the word of hate in anything I've written. You're not going to find a word of hate in all the hours I've talked about these things. In fact, I did a presentation in Des Moines, Iowa, a few weeks back on Can You Be Gay and Christian? And then afterwards, we had open mic Q&A, and one young lady got up. She said she's 21 years old, and she's not struggling with her sexuality. She's gay. She said, but I didn't hear any condemnation or judgment from you when you spoke. Of course not. I'm not going to just get up and condemn someone, and you're going to hell because you're same-sex attracted. And people who hear me know that. Nonetheless, the rhetoric is out there. I've been called an anti-gay monster. I've been called one of the most vociferous anti-gay bigots in the country. And that just comes with the territory. Jesus said, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. Jesus said that we're going to be maligned and spoken against for righteousness. As long as it's for righteousness and not for a flaw in my character or for foolish words, then I embrace it, I take it on, and that drives me further to pray for people who will speak against me. And I remember Paul's words, to overcome evil with good.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a larger philosophy. How we win this battle is not by political intimidation, although we urge people to vote and do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
We don't win this battle by yelling and screaming. We win this battle by prayer, by doing what's right, by overcoming evil with good, by overcoming hatred with love, knowing that light is always going to drive out darkness.
In your column, Secularism Declares Open War on Religious Faith, Dr. Brown, you mentioned how earlier this year city councilors from a specific region in Canada, they voted to ban a Christian leadership conference scheduled to be a podcast at the city's convention center because one of the sponsors of the conference was U.S. restaurant chain Chick-fil-A. According to one councilor, the chain spreads, quote, divisiveness, homophobia, and expressions of hate, end quote, because of its CEO's pro-marriage views. But it gets worse. City councilors condemned the event as hateful, compared it to the Nigerian terrorist group Boko Haram. And it goes on from there. And then you write, there you have it. Chick-fil-A is no different than Islamic radicals who burn little boys alive and kidnap and rape young girls, not to mention being similar to an organized crime ring. I obviously didn't quote that particular part of it. But you have these people making these kind of crazy comparisons, and in those were quotes from politicians, no less.
Yeah, this was a local city council in Canada. There was going to be a simulcast in a building that was going to be used in the city. And the irony of the whole thing is that the conference featured former First Lady Laura Bush and Bishop Desmond Tutu, both of whom advocate, Tutu quite aggressively, redefining marriage. Mm. So it was anything but a religious fundamentalist conference, but one of the sponsors was the fine Christian company and famous fast food company, Chick-fil-A. One of the few fast food places you go in and everybody's polite to you, and many of them there's Christian music playing, and they're known for, you know, humanitarian efforts and things like that. And amazingly, this city council, from their distance in Canada, says, well, we are not going to allow our center, our convention center, to be used for a simulcast because of one of these sponsors, because of Chick-fil-A. I mean, I'm laughing because of the absurdity of it.
Yeah.
And I think they voted something like 8-1, and they used the Boko Haram rhetoric. Boko Haram, which kidnaps.
Comparing Chick-fil-A to Boko Haram. Chick-fil-A is in favor of traditional marriage and has supported that in the past, and Boko Haram, you know, does these crimes.
They burn Christian boys alive. Oy. They kidnap and rape Christian girls. They slaughter people in cold blood. They're responsible for thousands and thousands of deaths, murderous acts in northern Nigeria. And the thing was so absurd, a website was formed just to expose the absurdity. And then ultimately they realized they made a mistake and reneged. It was too little, too late at that point. But these are city council officials who actually believe these things. So we really have our work cut out.
Yeah.
Again, people would say, who would believe it? They believe it.
Yep.
Peter Tatchell believes it. Others believe it. And again, we're really going to have to overcome these lies with truth and with patience and just with the quality of our own lives. As people know who we really are, it'll expose this nonsense.
Dr. Michael Brown, thanks so much for being with us. And if I may just add one closing comment here, so much of this reminds me, with the militant secularists, reminds me of something Jesus said to the religious Pharisees who were rejecting him. He said, "Woe to you, Pharisees! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You don't go in, but you prevent others from going in." So we pray that these people would have their eyes open and come to know Jesus and the love of Jesus and see that they've got it all wrong. Thank you so much for all you do. And do you have a closing thought in 20 seconds? Again, askdrbrown.org for more information. But go ahead and give us a closing thought.
Closing thought, we must not withdraw from sharing the gospel with others for fear of how we will be perceived. We must put our trust in the power of the gospel, regardless of what society says.
Amen. God's love will overcome. Thank you so much, Dr. Michael Brown. All the best.
My joy. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye.